Well, I'm sure there are a few verses that stood out for you in quite an astounding account of a true story here in the Bible, and that is perhaps above all else the phrase that the man said to the Lord, Lord, I, verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We heard of a high mountain in Revelation this morning. Thank you, Len. And you may remember that we were on a high mountain the last time we were in Mark. It's been some time now, Matthew chapter 9, the beginning of it, that we were in a high mountain, and it was about the Lord Jesus Christ coming in glory. And we saw his glory as the Son of God becoming dazzling white. Speaking of those prophecies in Daniel, for instance, which we see that God was revealed as being dazzling white. And this evening we leave the mountain. We leave the mountain and the glory of that high mountain. And we are met with scenes not too dissimilar from the beginning of Revelation, as we heard this morning briefly. The situation of the church there, in, to our eyes, disarray, lacking faith, facing tribulation. Jesus leaves the high mountain and comes down and meets with this group of people. And we see a very discouraging scene, you might say. We see that those who have outright unbelief, but we also see that there are those with weak faith. Now, as we come to this passage, there are some things that are very foreign to us. Perhaps you're new to the Bible and you wonder what are the most important things of this passage. Lots of things are going on. Some things are very foreign to us. The demon possession. And we have to remember that this is a special time of the history of the church. But this passage still speaks to us today. And essentially what this passage is saying to us is encouraging us all this evening to have strong faith in God. Not just faith, but strong faith in God. There are two groups that the Lord Jesus interacts with. There are those who have no faith. Jesus will call them faithless. And then I'm going to lump together the others into those who have weak faith. That is, the disciples and this man, the father, who have weak faith. It is important to acknowledge at the outset that the Lord Jesus Christ commends neither of these groups. He commends neither those that have no faith whatsoever, but nor does he commend those who have weak faith. Those who remain faithless are rebuked by the Son of God. They're called a faithless generation. And yet, those who have a weak faith are not encouraged. By and large, they are challenged to believe more strongly. And we'll see how that is. So this therefore speaks to us tonight. It is a very foreign episode to us. It's not something we see every day. But tonight, 2,000 years later, we are part of one of those groups. We are either those who have no faith whatsoever in the Son of God, or I think I'm right in saying that we're part of that second group, those that have weak faith and feel that we have weak faith and we want to have our faith strengthened. And so there's a challenge to us if we have weak faith, and there's a warning to us if we have no faith. So under the title this evening, He is Able, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to consider three points. First of all, we'll see that faithlessness is rebuked by the Lord. We'll then see that weak faith is challenged. But then mercifully we'll see thirdly that weak faith is accommodated. So first of all, faith lessness is rebuked. There is one group of people in this account that receives a very strong rebuke from the Lord Jesus, and that is due to their lack of faith, their absence of faith. The Lord says in verse 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? These are extremely strong words from the Lord. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? The Lord Jesus is essentially saying that he does not want to be around certain people because they are faithless. How long shall I bear with you because of your faithlessness? These are words that no one wants to hear, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, would not want to be in our company. Surely we wouldn't want God to say that to us, would we? Well, who then is God addressing? Is there a danger that we are in this group this evening, the faithless generation? If there is a possibility that we are in this group, then there's a warning for us tonight. We should pay special attention. We don't want to be in that group because of what the Lord Jesus Christ says to them back then and to us this evening. Well, who is it then that the Lord rebukes? The Lord rebukes what he calls, verse 19, the faithless generation. Well, what is this faithless generation? Well, the Lord has used this expression rather recently in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, the Lord, it says, rebuked the Pharisees, sighing deeply in his spirit, and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. The Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking of this faithless generation, is speaking about the unbelieving generation of this time. There was an unbelieving generation, especially amongst those who were outwardly religious. In previous chapter, the Lord Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, those that were religious but faithless. In this chapter, it's directed towards the scribes, those who are religious but faithless. And the Lord Jesus Christ is rebuking that faithless generation, those who should have known better. How could that generation not have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah? Why did they continue to look for more and more signs that he was the one promised? This is why the Lord sighed deeply in his spirit at their unbelief. And this is frighteningly why the Lord had already begun to withdraw from them. In Mark chapter 8, verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, the Lord Jesus Christ left them. Now, it's not just referring to him physically moving away from them. It's leaving them in a fuller sense. He could no longer bear being amongst that faithless generation. The door of opportunity for that unbelieving generation was closing. And so this faithless generation is those who are religious outwardly. Who know the scriptures, who should have known better that the promised Christ was here. And he rebukes that faithless generation. Yet thankfully we see that the door was not shut on all people. We see, in contrast to the faithless scribes and the Pharisees who have no faith, that there are some in this passage who have faith. It's clear that the Father and the disciples have faith. It is a weak faith, as we'll see shortly, but it is a faith, at least. In a great contrast to departing from the faithless and rebuking the faithless generation, look how the Lord remains with those who have a faith. albeit a weak faith. But equally, notice how the Lord does not congratulate those who have a weak faith, or even commend it. He doesn't rebuke them, but he is going to challenge the weak faith of his followers. And so secondly, we see that weak faith is challenged. The Lord in this passage will challenge the man and his disciples, as we will see, to increase their faith. The man, for instance, does have faith because he believes that the Lord Jesus Christ can heal his son. That's why he goes to him. But the Lord challenges the man to have stronger faith in him because the man's faith is weak. The man himself admits this, doesn't he? In words that we could easily say ourselves, in verse 24, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He's got weak faith. Now we have to step back and ask why he has weak faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is in his midst. Why has he got weak faith? Well, probably due to his circumstances. Think about the circumstances that he finds himself in. He's overwhelmed by them. His own son has a mute spirit within. Has been a mute spirit from childhood. This is a long-standing trial, a difficult circumstance. And this son of his is tortured by this demon inside, an unclean spirit. Look in verse 22. He has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But he's torturing him. He hasn't destroyed him. He's toying with this son of his. Imagine being in that circumstance and seeing that for a long time your son has been affected this way. And he goes to the Lord's disciples, but they cannot heal him. This is why he is finding it difficult. His circumstances are leading to weak faith. But more fundamentally, perhaps, he also has an incomplete understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can do. He underestimated the Lord Jesus. This is why we see the implicit questioning of Jesus. Did you notice that in verse 22, there's a word or a put at the front of the statement, if. Verse 22, he's often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything. There's a questioning of the Lord. What has happened is this man has developed a weak faith because he has he can't see past his circumstances, and also he has got a misunderstanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can do. And so, this is important. The Lord Jesus Christ challenges the man's weak faith. Rather than healing the boy there and then, which he'd easily do, notice what he does, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord challenges the man's weak faith. Look at how the Lord responds to the man in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Why does the Lord do this? Why does he not heal that little boy in a tragic situation there and then? No, he wants to do something in the man. He wants to strengthen the faith of that man. Lord Jesus Christ wants that man to have firm faith in him. It's as if the Lord is saying to that man, I can heal your son, but you need to believe that I can heal your son. If you want your son to be healed of his problems, you need to come forth with faith. The Lord Jesus Christ wants that man to have a strong faith that God can do it. And stepping back from this, we've got to say that faith is absolutely essential to receive from God. We've seen this in Mark's gospel already, haven't we? In Mark chapter 5, when the lady of the issue of blood touched the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said to her, "Your faith has made you well." Now, we know that it was the Lord that healed that woman. But Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Soon enough, we'll see in chapter 10, Jesus healing a blind man called Bartimaeus. And Jesus says the same thing. "Your faith has made you well." It was Jesus that healed Bartimaeus. But faith is essential to receive from God. Indeed, the opposite is true. When Jesus went to Nazareth, do you remember that in Mark chapter 6? It says that the Lord could do no mighty work there. Why? Well, the Bible tells us it was because of their unbelief. They lacked faith and so they missed out. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ says to the man, "If you can believe, all things are possible." Faith is essential to receive from God. And faith is also essential to serve God. Because the passage teaches us that the work of the disciples was hindered because of their lack of faith. Do you remember how this whole episode started? That Jesus had to heal a man because the disciples could not. Now, why was this? The disciples had healed people of demons before. Mark 6 tells us that the disciples cast out many demons. But here they're met with one in whom they cannot cast out. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in verse 29, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And we might be left scratching our heads if we didn't look to the other Gospels. Because Matthew 17, which is his account of this occasion, he tells us that the Lord informs the disciples that they could not cast out the demon because they had little faith. You see, the work of the disciples had been hindered because they only had little faith. The Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say in Matthew 17, he's now speaking figuratively, "I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And so, can you see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here? Alongside challenging the faith of the Father, which is weak, the Lord Jesus Christ is also challenging the weak faith of his disciples. And we've been seeing this in the gospel time and time again. He asked his disciples, "How is it that you don't understand? How is it that you still have no faith?" And is this not a word for us tonight? Those of us who have faith, do we have a weak faith in God? I think every one of us would say, yes, we do. I think every one of us could say that our faith in God could be stronger. But perhaps our faith in God is shaped by our circumstances, and we have an incomplete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he can do. Either way, we can all say with that man regularly, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." But we can be encouraged this evening that even if our faith is weak, there's a great encouragement here tonight, because the Lord accommodates those, thirdly, with a weak faith. Yes, he challenges those with a weak faith, but he accommodates graciously with those that have a weak faith. Notice how the Lord does not send him away, this man, or even rebuke the man. I think if we're to understand this passage, verse 19 has to be dealt with in two groups. He answered him when Jesus says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I bear with you?" That's speaking to one group, and then he says, "Bring him to me." He accommodates the weak faith of this man. And what an encouragement this is. We can be encouraged by this. The Lord desires his disciples to have strong in faith in him, yes. But he still does accommodate those who are weak in faith. This is what the Lord does time and time again. He is gentle with his followers. How many leaders there have been over the years, even now, who are cruel and ungracious, barking orders at their followers, finding fault and criticizing the smallest of infractions. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not like them. In Isaiah 42, the Lord is described as one who is gentle. A wonderful picture that we are given. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." What a picture. You think of how delicate a bruised reed, one of those things children buy the pond, bulrush, how tender and delicate that is. And this is a bruised reed. And then you think of a smouldering wick, the end of a candle, how delicate that is. You just snuff it out with a quick breath. But this is to show us how gentle the Lord Jesus Christ is with all of us who have a weak faith. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. But I want to do what the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts us to do, not to continue to have a weak faith. Just because a weak faith is accommodated by the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that he commends it. And how often the Lord Jesus Christ sought to correct the weak faith of his disciples. And see how he challenges the weak faith of this man. He wants them to be strong in faith. And we all should be strong in faith. There is much for us to be certain about. We all fall short of what God has required of us, but when it comes to faith in God. But we must strive to have strong faith in God. Trust him that he is who he reveals himself to be, the one true and living God, in whom no man can stand against, and in whom nothing is impossible. So let us move away from a weak faith to a sure and a certain faith. Not in ourselves, but in God and his sure and certain purposes and promises. I want to say a final few things to anyone tonight who does not yet believe. These events give us a picture of what is required of us who want to be healed spiritually. The boy came with a physical illness, didn't he? It was dreadful and beyond any man's help, and yet he was healed. And perhaps tonight you are someone who people have given up on. You're a desperate case, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ gives us here a picture of what he can do for you. He can heal you, not physically, but heal your sinful heart, the things that cause you to walk in ways that don't please God. And so I have to ask you tonight, has he healed you? Have you gone to him and reached out to him in faith? You need to have the faith to believe that God can heal you. The salvation is there and we have to lay hold of it. He has shown us that he is able. No one is able to help this young boy, but God the Son was. And so if you want to be healed tonight, pray to him that he would heal you of your sin-sick soul. You don't need a strong faith, but you do need faith to come to him and to rest in him for your salvation. Will you believe in this, therefore, or will you continue in unbelief. Because there's a warning for us here that if we continue in our unbelief, Jesus will depart from you. Your conscience will stop and he'll just depart and leave you to yourself. That's a fearful thing. But the Bible says elsewhere, now is the day of salvation. Call on him while he is near. If you've not done that, if God has not radically changed you, then cry out to him and he will heal you from your biggest problem, the problem of your sin. Let's pray together.